Vidya. Learning. Tapaha. Austerities. Vrta. Vows. Dadan. The followers. Mukataha. From the mouth. Sma. Was. Vipran. The brahmanas. Brahma. Lord Brahma. Atmatatvam. Self-realization. Avitum. To disseminate. That's disseminate. That means to speak about, to make known to everybody. You want to disseminate knowledge means to preach Krishna consciousness, all right? Disseminate. I know that's a big word. Pratamam. First. Tvam. You. Asrak. Created. Tat. Therefore. Brahmanan. The brahmanas. Parama. O great one. Sarva. All. Vipatsu. In dangers. Pasi. You protect. Palaha. Like the protector. Pachun. The animals. Eva. Like. Vibo. O great one. Pragrihita. Taking in hand. Dandaha. A stick. Translation. My dear great and powerful Lord Shiva, you were created first from the mouth of Lord Brahma in order to protect the brahmanas in pursuing education, austerities, vows, and self-realization. As protector of the brahmanas, you always protect the regulative principles they follow. Just as a coward boy keeps a stick in his hand to give protection to the cows. You can repeat, my dear great and powerful Lord Shiva.
My dear great and powerful Lord Shiva.
You were created first.
You were created first.
From the mouth of Lord Brahma.
From the mouth of Lord Brahma.
In order to protect.
In order to protect.
The brahmanas.
Brahmanas.
In pursuing education.
Pursuing education.
Austerities, vows.
Austerities, vows.
And self-realization.
As protector of the brahmanas,
you always protect,
the regulative principles
they follow. Just as a coward boy
keeps a stick in his hand
to give protection to the cows. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada. The specific function of a human being in society, irrespective of his social status, that means whether he's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, is to practice control of the mind and senses by observing the regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic Shastras. Lord Shiva is called Pashupati because he protects the living entities in their developed consciousness so that they may follow the Vedic system of Varna and Ashrama. The word Pashu refers to the animal as well as to the human entity. It is stated here that Lord Shiva is always interested in protecting the animals and the animalistic living entities who are not very advanced in a spiritual sense. It is also stated that the brahmanas are produced from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. We should always remember that Lord Shiva is being addressed as the representative of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. In the Vedic literature, it is described that the brahmanas are born from the mouth of the universal form of Vishnu. The kshatriyas are born from his arms, the vaishyas from his abdomen or waist, and the shudras from his legs. In the formation of a body, the head is the principal factor. The brahmanas are born from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to accept charity for worship of Vishnu and to spread Vedic knowledge. Lord Shiva is known as Pashupati the protector of the Brahmanas and other living entities. He protects them from the attacks of non-Brahmanas or uncultured persons who are against the self-realization process. Another feature of this word is that persons who are simply attached to the ritualistic portion of the Vedas and do not understand the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not any more advanced than animals. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed that even though one performs the rituals of the Vedas, if he does not develop a sense of Krishna consciousness, then all his labor in performing Vedic rituals is considered to be simply a waste of time. Lord Shiva's aim in destroying the Daksha Yagya was to punish Daksha because by neglecting him, Lord Shiva, Daksha was committing a great offense. Lord Shiva's punishment was just like that of a coward boy who keeps a stick to frighten his animals. It is commonly said that to give protection to animals, a stick is needed because animals cannot reason and argue. Their reasoning and argumentation, or argument, is argumentum ad baculum. Unless there is a rod, they do not obey. Force is required for the animalistic class of men, whereas those who are advanced are convinced by reasons, arguments, and scriptural authority. Persons who are simply attached to Vedic rituals without further advancement of devotional service or Krishna consciousness are almost like animals. And Lord Shiva is in charge of giving them protection and sometimes punishing them, as he punished Daksha. Interesting purport. Vidyata purvatataran mukatasma vipran brahmatmatatvamavitum prapratamantvamashrak tadbrahmananvadamasarva vipatsupasi pala pashuniva vipo pragrihita tandaha. Okay. So, Omagana Timadandasya Garanjana. Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the description of Lord Shiva as Pashupati is quite interesting because it can refer to many different things. Of course, the standard way that we understand it, apart from the way this verse describes it, is that Lord Shiva is literally the Lord of the animalistic people. And what does that mean, animalistic people? If you examine Lord Shiva's temple, he's the temple president. Everybody's interested in becoming a temple president. His temple, there's ghosts, rakshasas, pisachas, you know, witches, you know, like Putana and things like that. That's all in his temple. It's a quite interesting temple. That's really mercy. Isn't it? I mean, really mercy. And we're not so merciful here. We don't let people who, you know, walk around naked in the temple and smear ashes on their bodies and wake up in the middle of the night and watch Fiji Seminar. Yes, we do. Anyway, so I guess we are pretty merciful. Anyway, so that's Pashu Dharma. Anyway, so in Hindi, you have the word Pashu also means animal? Animal. Okay. So Pashupati, so that's one way that we generally understand it, just like when there was Diti and Kashyapa. And Diti became overcome with a sense of lust towards Kashyapa. And she said, she pulled on Kashyapa's dhoti and said, anyway, let's have a relationship. And and Kashyapa said, well, it's really not the appropriate time because Lord Shiva and his associates are flying through the air. And when people have the relationship at that time, then Lord Shiva puts his associates within the wombs of those ladies. And you really don't want to give birth to one of Lord Shiva's associates. It's not the best kid you can have. You know, my dear little witch. Anyway. Or my dear little ghost or fiends, you know. It's really, you know, I think most of us would like nice kids, isn't it? You know, devotee kids, not ghosts or fiends or witches or rakshasas, you know. When your kid starts to eat other little children, then you understand he was an associate of Lord Shiva. What did you do with your friends, my dear child? Well, I ate them this morning for breakfast. So at that point, you understand that was, you made a mistake. Anyway, so Lord Shiva's flying around, particularly in the twilight hours. That means the beginning of the day when it's neither day or night. And the end of the day when it's, you know, the evening when it's neither day or night. So that's one way we understand Lord Shiva as us. And there's so many descriptions of that. I mean, actually, this Bhagavatam part, the Bhagavatam describes that, how when Lord Shiva's associates attacked the arena of Daksha, they were really ferocious associates. You know, so that's one way. But another way is very interesting. That's the way that Prabhupada is describing here, that Pashupati or Pashu can also refer to unqualified brahmanas, which is interesting. And what does he mean by unqualified brahmanas? Because let's understand, let's take a analysis or make an analysis of what a brahmana is. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita we have the qualities of the brahman listed, right? Sama dhamma tapakcho cham shanti raja mevja jana vigana masti kyam brahma karma svabhaja. Everybody knows this verse, or hopefully. A brahman is equal poised, he's self-controlled, he's austere, he's clean, he's tolerant, he's religious, he reads Vedic literatures, he practices the Vedic literatures, jana vigana masti kyam. So these are the qualities, but those are actually secondary. That doesn't make a brahmana. That's a misunderstanding that many people have. The qualities are secondary qualities. The primary quality is brahmana means one who understands Brahman. That's the primary, and the secondary qualities come from the primary qualities. That's, you really have to understand that. Although we do cultivate the secondary qualities, we should cultivate the secondary qualities, they're coming as a byproduct of being absorbed in Krishna. Like we find the qualities of a Vaishnava, right? You know, 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. They're secondary. What does that mean by secondary? Sometimes, because of its devotee service, they may not appear. Like, so one of the qualities is to be self-controlled, and, you know, because a devotee may have to chastise rascals sometimes. So he's getting angry. Vaishnava's not supposed to be angry. So the secondary qualities appear and disappear according to the situation, which is interesting. So anyway, so a brahmana's definition, the definition of a brahmana is one who knows Brahman. And Bhagavatam tells us there's three ways of knowing Brahman, right? What are the three ways? Anyone know the verse? No. What? Yeah. Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdite. Vedanti tat, tatva viras, tatvam yad gyanam advayam. This is from the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tat, tatva viras. Those who actually know the truth, tatvam, advayam, then the truth is advayam, non-dual. That means it's the same. Different aspects of the same truth, viewed from different angles of vision. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdite. It is known as Brahman, Paramatma, the localized representative of Krishna in the heart, or Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the personality of Godhead. And of course, the personality of Godhead can mean Lord Ram, Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world with his devotees, and ultimately Lord Krishna in Golok. So really that's the definition of Brahman, right? Otherwise one is not a Brahman, one is a Pashu. As Prabhupada makes that point, I'm not going to speak like this in the temples here in Fiji and tell people that. I mean, I can pull out a lot of verses to really insult everybody if I wanted to. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Adi Daivata Samitvayanaiva Viksheta Sapasandi Bhavetruvam. Another famous verse that would insult everybody. What is it? That anyone who considers Brahma or Rudra to be the same as Vishnu is a Pashandi or an atheist. That's another famous verse. I remember when I was a new sannyasi, I would go into the Hindu centers and always quote these verses and upset everybody. But nowadays I'm kinder and gentler. We say things indirectly. But, you know, anyway, the old days I used to smash a lot. So the definition of a Brahmin. So why is it that so-called Brahmanas don't act in such a way, in spite of following the Vedic literatures? The reason is they are followers of a particular darshan. Now, that's an interesting statement. Darshan means to take, see, you know, understand? Like drishyate. Drishyate in Sanskrit means to see. Drish, that's the root. You have the same thing in Hindi? Drish, drishyate, darshan. So sometimes we say to a great personality, I would like a darshan. Actually, what we're thinking of is I'd like to tell you all my problems and have you solve them. That's not a darshan, isn't it? A darshan is when we, you know, take darshan of the TVs. So we should understand when to use the words darshan. We're using them improperly. Gurudev, I'd like a darshan. Please lend me some money. So, we like your darshan. Anyway, so there's another sense of the word darshan, which refers to philosophical understandings, like to take the understanding of a particular philosophy. And there's shod. There's six basic darshans in the Vedic heritage. You know, like there's the yoga and sankhya. You know, yoga means, you know, Patanjali's yoga system. Sankhya means to enumerate. Sankhya, to count, actually, in Sanskrit, means to count. Or it means like the philosophy of counting all the different material elements and coming up with ultimately, you're not that body. Basically, that's Sankhya. So Sankhya is Nyaya, which is logic. Vaisheshika, which is basically atomic physics. Nobody does that anymore in India, because nowadays you have real atomic physicists who blow up people with atom bombs. So, and finally, there's what's called Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. Purva means before or first, and Uttara means the final, you know, the highest. So the Purva Mimamsa is sometimes called Karma Mimamsa. And I think you've heard about that before. So what happens is that the Brahmanas generally, those so-called Brahmanas, who are called by the Bhagavatam here is Pashus. Anyway, the so-called Brahmanas, they sort of get into the Karmakanya understanding of the Vedic literatures. They get bewildered by, let's say, the phantasmagoria, the promise of going to heaven. I mean, there's in the Vedic literature, like the original Vedas, there's a lot of stress on heaven or going to heaven. Just like you see even in Christianity, they talk a lot about heaven, isn't it? Don't you want to go to heaven? Are you afraid of going to hell? So because of that, you know, the stress on heaven, the primary focus of the Karmakanya rituals is to get you to heaven. And not only to get you to heaven, to keep you there. Because once you get there, as Krishna says in the Gita, what does he say? Shine punya marcha lokam vishanti. Unless you keep good karma, that is, or when your good karma runs out, you come back to the earth planet. So it's not only going there, you got to stay there. It's just like, you know, you come to Fiji, or your guest comes to Fiji, like myself, and they stamp in the passport. You have, you know, 2 months, 3 months, and that's it. You're out. You know, Fiji's paradise. Many of you don't understand that. You think Australia, New Zealand is paradise. It's just like in the Bible when Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. You know the story? Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden in the same way you want to leave Fiji. So, you go to Fiji, and then you get kicked out. Then immigration comes and just throws you out if you don't go voluntarily. So same thing. But according to Karmakanda, you can get a visa extension. And that's the pinda ceremony done by your children, who are your putras, or putri, if they happen to be ladies. So it's all based on just keeping you in heaven, which is crazy anyway. Because Brahma bhuvana loka panavartino arjuna, mama vechita kantiya puna janmana vichitayu. They're all places of misery, from the highest to the lowest place. I mean, you can imagine how much anxiety Brahma is in, right? Just like if you have some management problems, just like we have some management problems, big headache. It's like yesterday we were eating dinner, hearing about management, big headache. But imagine you have four heads to have headaches with. I was thinking about that last night. You have four heads and you're eating prasadam with four mouths. And you're getting big headache, you know. How many aspirins or how many Tylenols or whatever, you know, do you have to take for four headaches? So you think you become Lord Brahma in charge of the whole universe, but, you know, what is it? It's big headache. Then you're always worried about the demons. Everyone's coming and complaining to you all the time about what's happening. And you get to see Krishna, you know, once in a day. Isn't it? I mean, like in the middle of the day, you know, Krishna appears. I mean, that makes it all worthwhile, basically. But then even then, you can't even understand Krishna, and you steal his coward boys, and you steal the calves away. And so, you know, you're so much in anxiety, you forget that Krishna's God. Anyway, not a very good position. So anyway, so the idea is to go to heaven. And this is actually very prominent in India, too. And of course, as we mentioned several classes ago, that's why there was the rebellion. That's why, basically, there was a rebellion against the Brahmanas, who were just materialistic like animals, and that rebellion took the form of Buddhism, Jainism, and also the people who went to the forest, who were called the Aranyakas. Aranyaka means forest in Sanskrit. Or forest dweller, actually. Aranya means forest. The Aranyaka means the person who dwells in the forest. And so Lord Shiva is there to chastise those ritualistic brahmanas, those karmakanja brahmanas, and bring them back to their actual consciousness. And for that purpose, Lord Shiva is described here as like the cowherd boy who holds a stick. He chastises. So you can mention that to the ritualistic brahmanas here. Of course, the ritualistic brahmanas here in Fiji don't follow the rules and regulations, even of ritualistic brahmanism. You know, they're eating meat, they're doing so many things. But so Lord Shiva is there, ready to chastise them, bring them back. They think they're pleasing Lord Shiva? It's not like that. Lord Shiva is going to chastise them. So therefore, that's why Lord Shiva is called Pashupati in reference, in this particular verse, to the brahmanas who have deviated from their actual brahminical duties, which is self-realization. And Srila Prabhupada comments here, citing a verse from the Bhagavatam too. What is this? Padiyad yadi ratim shamayi kevalam. Dharma, here's the verse. Dharma swanishtita pumsam vishvaksena kata suyad. Not padiyad yadi ratim. What is it? Shrama evhi kevalam. That even if one does all his duties perfectly, the verse states, but he does not, ratim, he does not develop a taste for the holy names, for Krishna Katha, then he's just wasting his time. So this verse, in addition to being applied to ritualistic brahmanas, can also be applied to us who are performing Krishna consciousness under the jurisdiction of Niyam Agraha. which means just ritualistically, basically. Just like you know, Rupa Goswami writes in his Upadeshamrita, Prajalpa Niyamagraha, you know this verse? Achahara Prayasascha, Prajalpa Niyamagraha, Janasangas Chalayam Cha, Sadbir Bhaktir Panashati. That devotional service is lost by, because we should examine all these things. Overeating, that's a big one here, isn't it? Overeating. I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to insult anybody. Achahara. That means overeating, endeavoring, over-endeavoring for things that take you away from your sadhana. Prayasascha, prajalpa, talking nonsense. Who won the Fiji Sevens game? And niyamagraha, that means not following the rules, or niyamagraha, following the rules ritualistically. You understand? Niyamagra. Or janasangas, which means association with ordinary people, or loyam, which means greed for material things. I have to have things. Just like you look at a mobile phone, I have to have that mobile phone. Even if it, I just asked the question the other day of the devotees, do they have something called the iPhone here in Fiji? And they said, yes. And I said, how much does it cost in Fiji? And they said, $2,000. And I said, does anyone buy it? And they said, yes, plenty of people buy it. Right? Because it's achahara, greed. So anyway, so getting back to the point. So niyamagraha, basically many of us are guilty of niyamagraha, which means following the rules and regulations and not being conscious of why we're doing it, what we're doing it for, what is the goal of human life. You know, we go to Mangalarti. Of course, not many people go to Mangalarti, but that's another issue. Or we go to Bhagavatam and we take our nap during Bhagavatam class. It's a good time for catching up on your rest. You know, just like, just to see, you know, you look at people in Bhagavatam class and you, are you there, Prabhu? Jeev Jago. So we go to Bhagavatam class. So, or we do, whatever we're doing, we do the deity worship just as a ritual. You know, this is my duty, you got to address the deities, say this mantra, say that mantra, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot, like that. And so that's the point. Ritual, that we're becoming like ritualistic brahmanas. Not that we're thinking of going to heaven, maybe we are, but not that we're thinking of going to heaven, we're actually just doing it for the sake of doing it. And that's like pashu. As Prabhupada mentions here, this is actually interesting. Let me get to the end of this verse, the purport. He said, if he does not develop a sense of Krishna consciousness, that's an internal thing, all his labor in performing Vedic rituals is simply be considered to be a waste of time. So then we're wasting our time. So we should really be internal in our performance of devotional service. So anyway, that's what a Brahmin means. So any questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left. Or half a minute. Or 10 seconds. Or whatever. I mean, conch shell is not blown yet. So any questions? Some of us have a question. So you can be under the jurisdiction of Lord Shiva as a Pashupati, or you can be under the jurisdiction of Krishna as Brahmanpati, or Devotipati, Bhaktipati. It's your choice. So, no questions? Looks like we have some more time because Pujaris haven't shown their face. The Arya Samaj says what?
Indian say that whatever you eat, that's what you are.
That's right. We say the same thing.
Yes.
You are what you eat.
Yes. So, to develop Krishna consciousness,
you should eat prasadam.
You eat prasadam. But the prasadam is not cooked in the right mood.
Then it's not prasadam.
It's over to Krishna.
If prasadam is not, if the bhoga, you don't cook prasadam, you cook bhoga. Just to be precise, because Krishna doesn't eat prasadam. Krishna eats bhoga. He's a bhogaishvarya, he's a bhogi. He's actually the real Bogeshvarya. So, not us. Anyway, so if it's not cooked in the right consciousness, if people are not thinking, if they're just doing it ritualistic or just because they have to do it, Krishna may not accept. Krishna says, you must offer these things with love and devotion. It's not that you just offer a leaf of fruit or water. You have to offer it. There's two things that are required. In logic, that's called an and, a connecting thing. Both things are required. Offer what Krishna wants, but offer it love and devotion. Otherwise, he doesn't accept it. If you don't offer it with the idea, Krishna, please accept this, if you're just thinking, this is my ritual and I can't wait to eat, then Krishna becomes like the checkout counter at the supermarket, right? Like, it's not that you're thinking when you go to the supermarket, my dear, what is the name, MH supermarket? My dear MH, please accept this offering, this humble offering. No, you're thinking, just let me pay the money and get the hell out of here so I can eat and enjoy. So some people are cooking like that for Krishna too. They're cooking and thinking, let me finish this offering, get it offered so I can eat and enjoy afterwards. And then you think Krishna accepts that? Krishna's not like the checkout girl at the checkout counter. He says, no, I will not accept. And Radharani says, I will not accept. I will not give to Krishna. So then maybe you're eating bogam. So everything has to be offered with devotion. That's a necessary ingredient. If you have devotion, you can offer banana peels to Krishna and he will accept. Like that devotee, isn't it? He was so much in love with Krishna, he was peeling the bananas and he forgot, he threw the banana peels away. It's not that he was just spaced out. You know, I've seen devotees spaced out and do things like that. But he was actually in love with Krishna, experiencing Baba. So, he just thought, here's the banana. And Krishna enjoyed the banana peel. But if you have no love, Krishna will not even enjoy Lanka. Good joke. Anyway, that's a funny. That's a funny combination, isn't it? Okay, so I guess on that note, time to greet the deities. All glories to Prabhupada, to Radha Galopi Hari Ki Jai.